Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 186.
Yes, it is.
And Happy New Year, Nick.
Merry New Year's.
Merry New Year.
Merry New Year to you.
Hello, 2024.
It's our
year.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
But we can hope.
Yes. Yes. We live in hope. Something fun might happen at some point.
Okay, I'm going to reveal something here.
Oh God.
You know I don't like the number 3.
Yes.
I have talked to you about
you
this.
You have.
That 2023 just irked me because there was a 3 in it.
Right.
No way. So the 30s are going to be hell for me.
Yes. So the year 3000 is going to be a nightmare.
Which I hope to see.
Well, absolutely. Which, of course, we'll all see in.
I've been to the year 3000 with only great-great-great-granddaughter. She's pretty fine.
I'm glad to hear it.
You know that's a song, right?
Yes, I know that's a song.
I wasn't sure.
It's like, I live under a fucking rock.
Well, it's a popular song, isn't it?
Is it not to the Busted?
But the Busted.
I always get to the Busted and the McFly mixed up.
Well, they have combined.
They are now
McBusted. McBusted.
Or whatever they are. Or
are they, or McFly?
I don't know. I don't know which way around it is. But yes.
Yes.
The
lead singer of Busted is also in a metal band as well.
Good.
Fight Star.
No, I'm not familiar with that one, and I don't want to be either.
He guest sings on Gunship, who I really like. This
right.
is fun, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what any of this is going on, so I'm just going to say, yes, okay, that sounds great.
Yes, there's going to be more of this in 2024. How are you, Nick?
I'm all right.
Did you have a nice New Year?
I did, it was very pleasant. You were there, so...
I was there.
I don't know why you're asking, really. I was sitting next to you, though, for most of it.
It was a silent dinner party where we just glared at
silent,
each other.
It was a silent, awkward evening, but we got through it. And here we are.
Hopefully most of you have gotten through the first week of everyone in your offices or a place of work or even your family just going, oh my God, how was your Christmas? How was your New Year? And you have to go, oh, fine, same old, not too bad. All those stock responses because you're like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I just want to live under a rock.
Yes.
And sleep forever.
Sleep forever.
And live on cheese. Maybe you've worked through the cheese now. But
There's still a bit of cheese in the fridge.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, still got a bit of cheese.
What kind of cheese have you got left
there's,
over?
There's some Roquefort. Which that's, I actually only opened yesterday.
That's going to be ripe by
yep,
now.
So I'm quite looking forward to that.
Oh, sexy cheese.
I think I've got some Gouda as well.
You've got Gouda?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you in your fancy ways.
Yeah, well, if I'm going to get cheese, I'm going to get fucking cheese.
You know that entire wheel of brie that I bought when I was with you
yes.
when we were shopping? Yeah, there's still half of that left.
I'm not surprised. It was a large wheel of brie. I thought it did think it was ambitious for two people.
Yeah, and Ben doesn't like brie,
so one
out.
Person, it is even more ambitious, I feel.
I've just been eating it like a sandwich.
Yes.
But I plan to make a lovely brie and leek tart.
How's that going for you?
Well, no, I'll make it tomorrow.
Okay.
And it will be a taste sensation.
I'm sure,
know.
I'm sure it shall.
You can doubt me on many things, but I make very good food.
I make a very good tart.
I would make a very good tart. Well, any poisonings this week?
No, I'm going to be generous at the start of the year.
Mm.
I think you can't start the year with a poisoning.
Aww.
It doesn't bode well for the rest of the year.
Well, surely start as you mean to go on.
Well, no, peace on Earth and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, that was Christmas.
That was Christmas, yeah. Fuck that.
Peace on Mars.
Peace, yes. But no, happy, good thoughts, positive vibes.
Yay.
For 2024. It won't last, but let's give it a couple.
Well, speaking of goodwill to all men at the start of 2024 and covering everything in brie, I think it's time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
We certainly should, and we have many lovely, lovely, lovely new people. Thank you very much to Grace Farris.
Two, and oh my god, SL14DND.
Sly for D&D, Sly.
Oh, come on. Why did you work that out and I didn't?
Because I'm cool.
Sly for D&D, Slee for D&D.
Slee.
Slee for D&D. I like that.
To Coco Marie.
To Corporal... That I can't read all of that.
Corporal Cecil Wormsborough St. John Nobby Nobbs. Is the full transcript.
Well done, sir. To Deadly Nightshade.
And to Leah Smith.
Thank you, you delicious, lovely new Patreon subscribers. You are very, very sexy.
Hello, Corporal.
We hope everyone's had fun over on Patreon. We were on a little seasonal break, but we put out some spooky stories. We put out some spooky bloopers.
Were they particularly spooky? I've not listened to the bloopers. Are they particularly spooky?
They were scarily good.
Oh, God.
You walked right into that, didn't you?
That was upsetting.
Well, you should hear the bloopers. There were some very good bits because it actually had your very husky tones in there.
Oh, my voice of death.
I have a nice backlog of bloopers, and people, if you hadn't heard, or you wanted more of Nick's sexy voice when he lost his voice and we managed to squeeze out an episode, it's quite brilliant. It's quite brilliant.
I need to listen back to that because, yeah.
You do a few sexy phrases in there that did not make it to the main edit, but
definitely,
yep.
Definitely need to listen back to my own sexy phrases. I don't think that's... That's my plan for this evening when Sinead's gone.
Yep. Cue that up. Anyone comes around, you're like, hey, would you like to listen to something? If you need any more reason to subscribe to Patreon, you can hear bits of Nick's dulcet tones and his sick voice. But on Patreon, we do an extra episode every single week. We also put out bonus content, such as bloopers. We have videos on there as well, cocktail masterclasses. And we also have a higher tier where we do a new monthly episode every month.
Surprisingly, so.
Surprisingly, yes. And also send out gift packs to our cyanide connoisseurs. Many of you received them over Christmas, which was a delight. I'm glad you're enjoying them. If you want to know more, please head to patreon.com/thepoisonerscabinet. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Oh, God, no.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison.
I thought you might change it up for 2024.
No, you say this every time that we start a new season.
And you don't.
But I don't.
And you always disappoint me. I live in hope.
And I live to disappoint you.
Yeah, well, there we go.
I want to be the disappointing child. Or
we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
Yeah, whatever the cocktail one is.
Should we go with the first one?
Yeah, go on then.
Yay, hooray, hooray, hooray. It is Nick's story this week, but we can't possibly continue into 2024 without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. Nick... This
Hello.
Week's secret ingredient is...
It's a lovely pie.
It's a pie.
A lovely, lovely pie.
A delicious pie.
A delicious pie.
Now, I had to get the specification on this for American listeners versus UK listeners, but this is a savoury meat pie.
A savoury meat pie.
A meat pie. In America, we know that you call what we would probably call like a tart. A tart that we would freshen your drink, governor. In England, you guys call pie in America, and I can't... do the accent because that's one of the words that gives me the ick. I've said it before. The word pie in an American accent. I can't hear it. I can't. It's just because of Taxi Driver. That's why. Robert De Niro said it in a weird voice and it ruined pies. But with pie as your inspiration, your ingredient, what have you come up with?
So this week, we are going to have
yes.
a humble pie.
A humble pie.
A humble pie.
We should be eating humble pie.
We shall indeed.
Oh, that's very good. And I sense that humble pie would be quite bland.
Yeah, bland, disappointing, which I hope is not bode well, really, for the cocktail, but maybe we shall be surprised.
Well, hopefully in the cocktail it will be delicious, but I think in pie form it would just be some sort of greying meat. Nondescript.
Mainly pastry, nothing, no filling whatsoever.
Yeah, just watery gravy.
It's just like, yes, it's pie full of dust.
The famous dust pies.
Dust pies.
Of Yorkshire. Delicious. Well, I think it is high time for us to skip into the poisonous cabinet kitchen and shake up storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Nick, the humble pie. pie.
It's a humble pie.
And I notice a distinct lack of accompanying pie.
I apologise for the lack of pie.
Get you for this. But, oh, okay, so a short drink with a big cube of ice.
Big chunky bit of ice.
Yeah, it looks sophisticated. Looks like a kind of a whiskey sort of that. I don't know where I was going with that. But it's like in your nice cut crystal glasses, big lump of ice. It's a brown.
Brown drink.
Should it have stuff floating in it?
What stuff?
The black bits that are floating in mine.
Your black bits in yours?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to look?
No.
Is that the ice?
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Had this podcast taught us nothing that there's black bits in it. I'm sure it'll be fine. Sure, just be drink fine. It.
Just drink it.
Jesus Christ.
Just drink it. It'll be fine.
Okay. Well, this is being recorded anyway. My husband knows where I am. I think I need to dive into this and wish me luck. What the hell is it? There's a lot of black bits in this.
I haven't got any black bits.
I've got quite a few.
Maybe one or two little bits of black.
Oh,
bits.
I don't know. This is either a big ruse by him or there's flies in my drink.
Or I just really just haven't washed out the glasses.
Maybe that's it.
So they're all on open shelves now, so fuck knows what's getting in them.
Okay, I'm just saying that if it's not supposed to have black bits in it, there's a lot in mine. But let's just dive in, because you're not stopping me, so I brought this on myself. All right, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, hello, strong.
Mm.
Spirit forward.
Just a bit.
Jesus.
Not very humble.
It's not.
It's not humble at all.
Hoi, wow. Stings the nostrils in a good way.
That's interesting.
That is one of the most spirity, forwardy drinks we've had in a while.
Well, I say I like that. I know I'm going to drink it and be on the floor before I actually realise I'm on the floor.
Yeah. It's strong.
Yeah. So halfway through this episode, I will be start slurring and I will think it's great, but no one will be able to understand a word I'm saying.
That's strong.
Yes.
I mean, it just sort of feels like a whiskey. Is it a whiskey? Jesus. Hang on.
It's mainly made up of black bits.
It's black, right? Are the black bits intentional?
Black bits are intentional.
God,
the black bits are meant to be there.
Right. Okay. Oh, pepper.
Yes.
Is it black pepper?
It's black pepper.
Well, I mean, that wasn't hard.
No.
Tiny flies.
Fly eggs.
Thousands upon thousands of flies.
It's very special black sand from one desert.
Second sip here. Trying to get all the aromas in. Fucking hell, that's strong. Sorry. It's not unpleasant, but wow. Yeah, that is pure alcohol.
Come on.
I'm trying.
Stop being a girl.
I can't help it. These won't come off.
You have to put hair on your chest.
Is there a scotch in there?
There is scotch in there.
There's scotch in there.
But no.
It's not an Islay then?
No.
No. So it's just a blended scotch?
It's just a blended scotch, yeah.
Okay.
I have used a monkey shoulder because that was I had
oh,
on
no,
the cupboard.
Oh, no, I like monkey shoulder.
Which is a nice scotch, but it's on the cupboard.
Okay, so I just get
But there that. Are other things.
There are pepper.
There's pepper, yes.
Salt.
No salt.
Squid. What? Humble pie. Pastry.
Pestris.
Pestris.
Yes. Pest.
Bitters.
It's got a nice egg wash.
That could work. Okay, bitters.
There are some bitters.
Yeah. How many more things are in there?
Three.
Jesus. Oh, I really don't know.
Some of them...
Something spicy to it.
Yeah.
Aromatic.
I think the whiskey probably overpowers quite a lot of the aroma.
Honestly, I'm getting whiskey, some nice aromas behind it. I'm struggling to pick it out. Is there something herbally in there?
Not really.
Okay.
Should I put you out of your misery?
Please.
So there's some ginger.
Oh, bloody hell, really?
There's a bit of ginger syrup
okay.
in there.
Christ.
There is also what was meant to be a pimento dram, an allspice liqueur.
Yes, which we did have.
Which we did have and which I thought we had. And then when I couldn't find it, Sinead reminded me that no, the bottle broke.
My cat's broke it.
So, which I completely forgot about.
I'm sorry.
So what I've done is it's one that's actually very, very, very difficult to substitute. So I've used some rum. So a bit of rum with a bit of bitters in there to try and vaguely create that.
Okay.
So, but other one. It's Calvados.
Oh, is it?
There are equal parts.
I find it.
There are equal parts whiskey and Calvados. Which I think is mellowing the whiskey quite a lot. But the Calvados, I think, has softened the whiskey. And then with a bit of ginger in there as well, I think it's made it much more palatable to me anyway.
Yes, I'm going to nod along and agree with all of that. I just got whiskey. Yeah, it does just taste of pure alcohol to me. And it's... I don't know. I like it. It just feels like a really strong drink. This is the strongest drink we've had in a while.
Quite some time. Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. It is a very strong drink. It's late in the evening.
Yeah.
Drink. Yeah. I think it's a 11.
Post-dinner.
Yeah, exactly. After dinner. Mm. It's a
the
12.
Ginger will settle your stomach.
Yeah, 11, 12 o'clock in the evening. Mm. Big armchair.
With the caveat there, though, for reasonable drinkers, this is how you would end the night. If you've had a couple of glasses of wine and dinner and you're like, oh, a final digestif.
Exactly.
Yeah, not like us, who put away a few bottles of fizz and then a few cocktails and then just
talk
come
about
home
yourself,
and go,
love.
This is what's happened. This is what happens when we hit the wine and you go, I want to make a cocktail. This is just alcohol. And then I die the next day.
Yeah, but I don't, so it's okay.
It's not very humble, the humble
it's
pie.
It's truly not humble, no.
It's lies,
yes,
what it is.
It is a smack you in the face pie.
Well, okay. I'd recommend it to people. Definitely go for it. If you don't have the pimento liqueur, your rum and bitters combination works nicely.
Yeah, rum and bitters.
I feel the spice. I do taste the spiciness there, which is nice.
Nice. Of a bit of
spice. Nice, yes. And then good luck. Good luck. I'm very pleased it's your episode.
Yeah, yeah. I shall think I'll only be having the one of these.
Maybe we'll just have a glass of milk.
Maybe we'll have a nice coffee.
Well, Nick, with the humble pie firmly in hand, staggering, blinded, down the street.
Yeah.
Not letting it go, even though we probably should. Is it time for a story?
It is definitely time for a story.
Yay!
But I do have to start this week's episode with an apology.
Okay.
Because I do have disappointing news. This is not the story of Sweeney Todd. Which many people have been very excited about on social. So I'm afraid, as much as I would love to sit here and chat about musicals and sing songs for the next hour, not sure that's what we should probably be doing with our time.
That's a Patreon level. That's a cyanide connoisseurs level. Just us drunk singing musicals. I thought that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you say meat pie, people always go Mrs.
Well, absolutely. Everyone would assume that it's not... I have done some digging into Sweeney Todd, into the possibility. Is there a true story behind Sweeney Todd or anything like that? There isn't.
There's all sorts
there
of rumours.
There are there's many rumours and many legends. There's no one sort of case that really people think is the origin behind it. Sweeney Todd first came along in 1846. Him being a barber and everything like that was in a Penny Dreadful. It was a Penny Dreadful stories.
I'm going to stop you there, Nick.
Okay.
Because I still think this is worth a Patreon episode. I think we could discuss Sweeney Todd, the background to it, all the little rumours and things.
I'm pretty much finished now on Sweeney Todd.
But there are little stories. There are stories about barbers who apparently kill people. Everyone who's listening.
And there are stories about various cannibals and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's a paragraph of text, but there's enough of them out there I think we can stitch together and then sing some show tunes.
Yeah, and there are supposedly there was a French person in Calais.
We're not doing that now, but let's revisit it on Patreon. Yeah. I think that's worth it.
Absolutely. And I might actually try and dig out the Penny Dreadful series. It's called the String of Pearls. Ooh. This sort of serial story.
Sexy.
But we will be visiting Mr. Todd's stomping ground of Victorian London.
Yay!
So there really is no place quite like London.
Oh, I see what you did there.
There's no place like London. It's good.
What's in the musical, everybody?
But first we must start in the German town of Kutznack.
Okay, Kutznack.
Kutznack, which is located not far from the border with France and Luxembourg.
Okay.
On there. In Kutznack lives Master Baker.
Master Baker?
Master Baker, Urban Napoleon Stanger.
Sorry, there was a bunch of words there. First of all, Master Baker, that's an unfortunate job title, isn't it?
It's Master Baker.
And his name is?
His name is Urban Napoleon Stanger.
Napoleon Stanger. Urban? Is his first name? Urban? Okay, yes. Fine. Napoleon. Urban.
Napoleon.
Big designs.
Near the border of France, probably some influence going on there.
You think?
Yeah. And his wife, Elizabeth.
Oh, she had a nice, simple name.
Nice, dear old Elizabeth Stanger.
She was drawn to his name at the
start. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a sexy name. What's my name? Never mind that now.
Now, at this time in Germany, things are a bit fraught.
A little bit sticky.
Well, saying that, there is no such thing as Germany currently.
No, there isn't.
So,
I find this very confusing.
So,
I'm never sure of the dates of when Germany became...
Well, at the moment, Germany is... Well, what has become Germany is a big old collection of states... And cities, really.
That's what a country is.
No, but independent states. Mm. Like Italy was. Lots of sort of city-states
and
things.
You're not helping. a lot of people going, oh, like Italy, what?
Wait, before Italy became Italy.
It was a load of states.
It was lots of independent places.
It was the state of it, honestly.
And so, oh, shush yourself. I'm trying to be serious and educational here.
And I am and here for you,
just,
Nick.
God, nonsense. Nonsense.
Carry on. Please continue with the history of Germany.
Thank you. I'm glad. You were here for many, many hours. The biggest of these states is Prussia.
Prussia.
Rumblings now,
in Prussia.
Oh, exactly. Now there are rumblings in Prussia. Prussia's getting a bit uppity, really, and wanting to take over everything, really. It wants to exert its control over all the Germanic states and cities with the aim of creating a grand German empire. They want to rival the British in their empire. They say, yes, we want German empire. That's what we want. So with the Prussians invading all over the place, they are annexing cities and invading. A lot of people think, oh, I need to get out of here. There's a big old Prussian army coming over the hill, so we need to scarper.
Yes.
Really?
They're coming over the hill.
They're coming over the hill? Well,
we're going to get you. We're going to get you. Any minute now.
That's their marching song. We're going to get you.
We're going to get you. So it's a bit more subtle.
So they're on their way. A lot of people going, right, we need to get out of Dodge. We need to leave town. So there is a steady stream of people leaving these cities and these provinces and travelling throughout Europe, really. And a lot of them end up in England and a huge amount of them end up in London. And this is exactly what happens with Urban and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. They move to England in 1870.
Nice.
A year later, the German Empire is created. So there you go. Now you know 1871.
Oh, that was when the German Empire was created. Yep, oh, yep, great. A year after 1870.
Yes.
And that was 1871.
Yes, indeed.
Thank God you told me.
I know, absolutely. You wouldn't know these things unless I told you.
I wouldn't know. All I hear with anything that was before the formation of German Empire is just that line in Blackadder. There's great rumblings in Prussia. That might have something to do with the sausages.
There were indeed rumblings.
So
they moved to London. And so he had been a successful baker in his hometown. He had a bit of money behind. So he uses this to buy a house in Lever Street. In the very densely populated and not particularly wealthy East End of London.
Oy, yay, da, da, da. Is he going to be Jack the Ripper?
Very possibly.
I mean,
you
the
never
dates
know.
Are starting to stack
it's
up.
All starting to add up. Urban quickly re-establishes his bakery, and in no time at all, he is running an incredibly successful business. Many of his customers and his business associates are fellow Germans who have emigrated into London.
He knows all the delicacies.
And he provides a taste from home, really, which everyone craves. Mm. And he's got a constant stream of customers coming through the door. He quickly becomes an incredibly well-liked, well-respected member of the community, not only with the Germans, but with the English, everyone around. You want something tasty? That's the place to go.
That was his slogan.
Yeah.
You want something tasty? Come see me.
I've got so many tasty things.
Hot buns,
Hot buns.
You know what? German bread is good.
Oh, absolutely.
Tasty things. They know cakes.
They know, exactly. They know their bakeries.
They do.
So, indeed.
Tasty things galore. So, do you know the name of his shop?
I don't. I know it had his name above the shop. So it was like Urban...
Urban Outfitters.
Forgotten his name already.
Urban Bake Fitters.
It's just like Urban Stanger Bakery or something like that. Or I don't know. Or just,
oh, come on. You can come up with something more creative
it had,
than
it had
that.
His name above the door. We know,
stop,
we
Stanger
know
time.
That. Yes. He was there in his big puffy pants, baking away.
Oh, yes.
Having a grand old
time.
I
love this story.
So as Urban and Elizabeth, they are prospering. They're making great success of their move to London. A fellow German expat, a chap called Franz Felix Stumm, he's having a rather more difficult time of it. Now, like Urban, Franz is also a master baker. He's a very good baker. This tends to be where the similarity ends between the two. Now, unlike Urban, Franz's bakery is completely devoid of customers.
Oh.
Probably doesn't help that he has a reputation and has been described as surly and threatening.
Which is exactly what you want in a bakery.
Which is not exactly what you want for like good customer service or repeat business, is it, really?
Hello, sir, a loaf of bread with, like, fuck off! He's there with a shotgun trying to stop anyone from coming in and having his lovely tasty buns.
He's just a terrible businessman. Right. Excellent baker, but shit at the numbers.
Made one loaf of bread.
Yeah, he never pays his bills on time. Because he never pays his bills on time, flour doesn't arrive, his ingredients don't arrive, so he can't fulfill his orders and stuff like that. So he's got a reputation of just being pretty useless businessman.
He's not a master baker then, he's a bad baker.
Well, when he's got his flour, he's grand, he's a master.
Stop painting him out like Mozart and Salieri here. Oh, he was just such a wastrel. But when he baked, when he needed symphonies happened.
It was a symphony of flavours it was. So people just end up going elsewhere because he is unreliable. People go elsewhere and eventually his business just collapses. He is left with nothing but apart from a young family to support that he's got. Now, Urban knows of Franz's difficulties. They are part of the same community. They have socialised together. They've got mutual friends. And he also knows that, yes, he is good at his job. The practical stuff is just a bit shit at the business. So Urban offers Franz a job. Come and work for me at the bakery. Help you out. You get you sorted. Back on your feet. Brilliant. Franz does not take it well. He is a very prideful man, it seems. And he is...
Or proud.
I think he's prideful.
Is prideful a word?
It is now.
Okay. Well, I guess if he's that shit at business and if he's a surly man, I'll deign to give you this handout.
Exactly.
Come and work for me. Ooh.
So yeah, so he doesn't take it well, really. I mean, he accepts the job because he's desperate. So he accepts the but it is very much behind a forced smile. And he is getting more and more envious and bitter as Urban's bakery prospers and goes from success to success, and he's there just witnessing this success, thinking this should have been mine. Why haven't I got all this? So,
oh god! And if he's working there in the kitchen, he's working there. It's my bakes that are selling that and making this man money. It's like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
ooh, he sounds like a Paul Hollywood. Honestly.
Yeah. But say to the outside world, Franz is all smiles. Franz is all smiles towards his boss.
Terrifying
smiles. Yeah, terrifying, toothy, bitey smiles. He calls Urban friend. They socialise together, go to many of the same events. He is a regular at that Urban's house for dinner. So he comes over for dinner. Okay. He is a friend with Urban, with his wife, Elizabeth.
It does sound like he is a friend.
He's there, but he's obviously harbouring quite a deep resentment behind it. But he plays the part well, it would seem.
Red flag.
This sort of apparent friendship is so close that Franz is even known to call on Elizabeth when Urban is out of town on business. Of course, initially everyone thinks, well, he's just a very good friend. He's going around to see Elizabeth, make sure she's okay, make sure she's not too lonely when her husband is away.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So he's a what a good man. What a good man.
Elizabeth shouting out the window, what a good man. What he's so good. My God, he's kneading the bread well.
Yeah. Gossip and rumours do start to spread.
You don't say.
Yeah, that their friendship may not be entirely quite so innocent.
Oh, no.
Really. Rumours of an affair begin to run rife throughout the neighbourhood. Now, either Urban is completely oblivious to what is probably quite obviously going on under his own roof.
Yeah.
Or he is just turning a blind eye. Oof. That he's perhaps not interested in his wife. Perhaps he's got something going on the side of himself.
Quite possibly.
Who knows?
Oh, he's too busy with his bread.
He's too busy with his bakery. With his business. Absolutely.
Like, oh, yes, darling, you
crack on. Do
crack
what,
on with the help.
Yeah, exactly. Do what you want to do. But
he thinks he's being neighbourly. Yes. Oh, the poor man, he's on hard times. Wife, you must go to his bed. I really don't want to. No, you must. This is what neighbours do.
She seems to be quite happy with the arrangement. Urban and Franz, they continue to socialise. They are frequently sort of seen in the pub together with other members of the German sort of community and things, chatting about what's going on back home and all this sort of stuff.
So did your wife always do that weird thing with
her leg? Yes. On the 11th of November, 1881, Franz Urban, another one of their employees, a chap called Christian Zengler, who is also German, they go out for the evening with one of Urban's business associates. The four of them sit in the pub. They're having a jolly old time. Yep, they're discussing the situation back home. They're having a really nice evening. At closing time, the four left the pub and the group make their way back home towards Lever Street, where the bakery is. Mm-hmm. When they arrive, the other men go their own way to go home. Urban goes inside to meet his wife. Mm-hmm. Urban Napoleon Stranger is never seen again.
No,
what? Just no. Well, perhaps his wife saw him again, but no one else did.
He's never seen again. I love it in a story. Love it in a true crime story where it just never seen again. It's so frustrating and so satisfying at the same time. I must know what happened, but also, tell me everything.
Yeah, so the following morning, Franz Stumm is woken at his home by Christian Zengler. The chap they were at the pub with, he has been sent by Elizabeth to fetch Franz and bring him straight to Lever Street as soon as possible. Franz dresses and he sets off straight away.
Thank God he dressed.
Exactly. He gets dressed. He sets off straight away. From then on, he is hardly ever away from Lever Street. 10 days after his surprise summons by Elizabeth, he has moved in for good.
10 days.
10 days. He has moved in and he is now running the bakery. alongside Elizabeth. And who knows what has happened to Urban. He's just not here. He's just somewhere else.
Okay, playing devil's advocate here. Disappeared. 10 days is a long time. It is actually a long time. If you're there and someone's missing and then you're like, okay, I can't cope. I'm really stressed out. I'll move in. I'll be here as a companion.
Yep.
Business, we've got to get money coming in. There's going to be no financial aid. So we may absolutely. As well run it. And he's like, I'll run the bakery. Keeps you busy.
And that's exactly what he said. He moves in. No, because he's there to help. He's there to keep things ticking along. I mean, who knows when Urban is going to come back again. He might just rock up one morning and everything needs to be ticking along. So, I mean, of course, the local gossip goes mad. Where is Urban? What is Franz doing shacked up with the boss's wife? Things kick up another notch when Franz and Elizabeth are seen out in public. Holding hands
with a baguette.
Scandal indeed. Not even a baguette between them.
A wafer thin.
No, nothing at all. The holding hands scandal.
Yeah.
Well, where is Urban? No one knows. And both Elizabeth and Franz say, well, he's been called away on important business.
Okay, right.
Don't worry, he'll be back soon.
I take back everything I said initially. I thought they were initially, where is he? Oh, no, he's on business.
Oh, he's off on business.
You lying hounds.
He's off on business. Days turn into weeks, and there is still no sign of Urban Stanger. And Franz Stumm shows no sign of leaving the bakery. Now, Elizabeth's mother, who is also in London, she thoroughly disapproves of the whole situation. She now quite loudly complains about her daughter's disgraceful behaviour.
In the street, outside their window, in a German accent. Yelling.
Pretty much. So to try and sort of curtail some of the rumour and the damage it was doing to the business as well, Franz moves his wife into the bakery as well.
Because
Franz, he is married.
He's married.
He has his wife. Come on, love. We don't actually know her name. I don't know her name.
To quell the rumours.
Yes.
To quell them. Move your wife in to this situation. That's not going to do anything for the gossip.
It's as though Franz is there purely to help, to run the business, to keep things going while Urban is away.
No one would ever have sex with another woman in front of his wife.
Well, exactly. So obviously they're not going to be doing anything while the wife is in the house. No.
Or go live with your wife and commute.
Yeah.
That's what most people do.
I mean, Elizabeth finds this quite surprising as well, that now Franz's wife is in the house. I think she had assumed that perhaps now she would have the next sexy baker to herself. But no. Well, apparently he's the sexy baker.
He is. He's an artist. He's an artist with his hands.
Yeah, but no, I mean, Franz, I mean, he's got his hands really now what he wants. He wants the bakery.
Right.
And he's got the bakery. If Elizabeth is there...
Oh, right.
But he's got the business.
He had his eyes set on the business.
He's got his eyes set on the business. He's a jealous man.
He was using Elizabeth. She thought they were going to be in love. And now the wife turns up. It's the first I've heard of the wife.
Yeah. Now the wife turns up, absolutely.
Oh, please have the wife turn up in like a carriage in like bombazine black, like stunningly beautiful, waltzing in. Elizabeth is standing in the doorway going, what the hell is
Who
this?
Who the fuck are you?
And she just sort of takes off her gloves and throws them at Elizabeth going, yes, we'll have to clean up around here. Or that, or his wife's a troll. Scuttling in, he's going, yes.
Yeah. Round the back, love. Can't, give
for
up.
Appearances
can't come
only,
to the front.
Yes. I'll still shag you, but I need her to move in.
Yeah, absolutely. Soon the name Urban Sanger is removed from the sign outside the front and is quickly replaced with Franz F. Staum Baker.
Baker.
And sort of an air of sort of vague acceptance settles over the Lever Street Bakery. This is what it is.
Your loyalty only goes so far when you're deprived of bread.
Yeah.
Most people around there going, we won't shop there ever. He does really good bread, though.
He does really good stuff.
Have you tried his cinnamon buns?
Have you tried his cakes?
He does a very good tartlet. Actually, you know what? Whatever you want to do is fine. I'll just have a granary loaf, thank you.
I mean, thankfully, this sort of acceptance doesn't last that long. As time goes on, and with still no sign of Urban, the gossip starts up again. They say he is a popular man. He's a man with friends. He's got business associates. Yeah. He can't simply have vanished. Rumours spread. Yes, okay, maybe he has done a runner after discovering his wife's infidelity. Mm. But he wouldn't have just left with only the clothes on his back. He wouldn't have left a successful business.
Yeah, to leave his business that he built up.
So would he really just abandon all that and just hand it over to his wife's lover? Probably not. He's not a stupid man.
Might be a bit stupid.
Franz and Elizabeth start claiming that after the night out, when Urban had last been seen, he had apparently come home roaring drunk. He was absolutely out of it. Mm-hmm. Despite no one in the pub saying he'd hardly touched a drop, really. But no, in the house, he had then snapped and confronted Elizabeth about her lover. He starts beating her.
Ooh.
They say. And between blows, he tells her the marriage is over. This is not happening. Once he's exhausted himself after such vicious beatings, he goes to bed. In the morning, Elizabeth wakes to find her husband gone, she says. Along with all her bruises, miraculously healed.
Yes, yeah,
But no, she has not seen her husband since that awful, awful night.
Awful night.
Where he confronted her. Good People Lord. Aren't really buying it.
No.
People aren't entirely convinced. But there is no proof of any foul play. He's just wandered off somewhere. The bakery is still going strong. No one really has any complaints about the apparent new owner. And gradually suspicions fade and life does go on.
Oh, God. I suddenly had a thought, but I don't want to say it because I think he might be building to this. I don't know. Where is he, though?
Where is he?
Where is he?
Well, we'll find out after the break, won't we?
Oh, my God!
Time for another drink.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Nick, we have our drinks.
We have our drinks.
Where is he?
What has happened to dear old Urban Stanger?
What's happened to him?
What's happened to him?
What's happened to him in the bakery?
Thankfully, not everyone is happy to accept that he's just simply vanished. Particularly those he owes money to.
So
like any businessman, he has a network of suppliers that supply the bakery.
Oh, yeah.
And initially, these bills have been paid on time. And he is notorious for being a punctual bill payer. Mm. He's highly organised. But it's not long before things start to slip, really. And bills start to go unpaid.
Yeah.
Now, for quite some time, a lot of his suppliers are willing to sort of let the debts mount up, really.
Mm,
they know he's away. In the past, he has always been an incredibly good customer of theirs. So, okay, we'll give him a bit of leeway when he gets back from wherever his travels are. Mm. No doubt he will settle up in full and then all will be well. But as time ticks by, there is still no sign of Urban. And his suppliers, they start going to Franz and Elizabeth. Okay, well, you need to settle these debts. We're still delivering flour and all these ingredients. So you need to start coughing up. And all this falls on deaf ears. A relative of Urban's, a chap called Otto Bladen, he is unaware that Urban is supposedly away and decides to pay a call at the bakery to visit his relative.
Hello.
He is surprised to find Franz Stumm in charge.
Mm.
Who are you? Why are you here? This some concerns Otto. I mean, what has happened to Urban? And he returns later and he insists that, well, if you're running the business, I want to see the books. I want to see what you're doing with Urban's business.
Good
and
for him.
Reluctantly, Franz obliges and does show him the accounts books. And Otto discovers that Urban is now over £900 in debt.
Oh, that's a lot better.
Which, exactly. For sort of 1870s, it's a tremendous amount of money and incredibly unlike the very prudent Urban Stanger. Now, soon other people start coming to the door. There's a flour merchant, Tom Letch, who had known Urban back in Germany.
Yeah.
He was first to visit to ask for payment. Franz quickly sends Thomas on his way with a cheque for £133, 17 shillings and sixpence, signed UN Stanger. So how did he sign this if he's away? Oh no, he wrote them out before he left to cover these things.
Oh, he just left a series of blank checks.
He left a series of blank checks to cover these expenses before he went on his travels.
Of course. No one thought to check. They were like,
of course it is. Okay. Next to call is Simon Moll. Now he's another long-standing friend. Now he lent Urban £250 when he first came into England and helped him get established at the bakery. Urban had been making regular repayments to his friend for this loan, but in November the payment had not arrived, as it always had done, monthly. He pays a visit to the bakery. He is surprised to be invited in by Franz, and Elizabeth sort of hovering in a corner, looking somewhat sheepish and nervous. Franz says that Urban has gone to the countryside for his health. He came poorly, he went to the countryside to get some good old fresh air.
Right. Okay.
London smog is not good for anyone.
Yes, he needed some fresh air after beating his wife.
Yes, he needed some fresh air. So he's not going to be back until after Christmas.
No,
he's not going to be back after Christmas. He produces a cheque for £50 to Simon Moll. Again, the cheque signed UN Stanger. Now, Simon makes several more calls to Lever Street, the last being in February, which is 4 months after his first call. Franz, in February, now claims that Urban has actually returned to Germany. He's gone back to Germany, and he's just not coming back.
Yeah, he's just not coming back. No. He said he went to that, and he's not coming back ever.
He's gone home. I mean, Simon is entirely unconvinced that his friend would just leave the country without telling anyone.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Germany. I'm never coming back. And he hasn't told any of his business associates, any of his friends. Unlikely. So Simon is entirely unconvinced and starting to get actually quite concerned for his friend. Simon shares his worries with another of Urban's friends, a man called Jacob Piroth. Now, Jacob was a native of Kreuznach, where Urban came from in Germany. And hearing of his friend's unexplained absence and apparent return to Germany in January of 1882, he travels back to Kreuznach to go and see if his friend really has returned home.
For him.
There is, of course, no trace of Urban back in the hometown. He hasn't been back in years.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob returns to London and visits Lever Street. He's in Germany, says Franz. No, he's not.
No, he's not. Daddy
Will
isn't.
Yes, he is. No, I've just come back from Kreuznach. He is. No one there has seen him for years. No one has any idea where he is. But again, it's sort of left like that in a sort of...
Well, I guess if someone just says, like, oh, no, he's there.
He's not there. We're not getting anywhere, really, are we? So, as the debts start to pile up, Urban's bank accounts are drained by Elizabeth and Franz. Urban Stanger is eventually declared bankrupt.
Okay.
Franz then uses the money that he and Elizabeth have siphoned out of the bank account to buy the bakery. The bakery is put up for auction.
Right.
At an incredibly knockdown rate.
Isn't that weird?
Failed business, buy it, going concern.
Guy deserted. We'll buy it.
We'll buy Stanger's business with Stanger's own money that we've stolen.
No one questions it.
All right, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it sounds good. They've been so good to look after that bakery and all of his money and his wife.
Yeah. Now, for many of Urban's friends, enough is enough, really. And they go en masse to the police to implore them to investigate this disappearance.
They're like the Prussians, aren't they? We're going to get them.
You need to get this sorted. Eventually, in April, Inspector Henry Radke, also a German by birth, is assigned to make inquiries.
Yes.
Now, the inspector begins by calling at 36 Lever Street to interview Franz and Elizabeth. Here, he confronts the pair with rumours that Urban has been murdered. Rumours that are going round the neighbourhood. Of course not, says Franz. Mr. Stanger, he's back in Kreuznach.
No, he's not.
Back in Germany. And again, it goes back and forth. The inspector is getting nowhere. He continues investigations in London. He can find no trace. No one has seen him in months since that night in November. Eventually, the inspector pays a visit to Kreuznach. He goes over to Germany himself and confirms, no, he has not been here in years. He is definitely not there. The inspector returns to London, but the trail is well and truly cold.
I mean, it's just very frustrating, this whole process of people having to travel across country going, well, he's not bloody
He's absolutely
not there. Oh, well, he definitely said he was. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Yeah, not much, really. Yeah. And eventually the authorities declare him officially dead. We don't know where he is. We don't know what happened to him, but he hasn't rocked up for a few months.
Maybe investigate.
So maybe he's probably dead. So they don't even have a body or anything. But he's probably dead. Everyone suspects that Elizabeth has murdered her husband and that Franz has helped her to dispose of the body. But no one can prove it. No one's got any evidence. There's nothing concrete. One very popular theory that was reported as gospel fact in some of the more gruesome penny dreadfuls of the day was that Elizabeth had murdered her husband. And then with the help of her lover, they had minced his bones and baked him into delicious, delicious meat pies.
There it is.
That have been a firm favourite in the bakery menu for many years.
That's what I was thinking earlier. Like, oh my God, have they cooked the fucker? Yeah, I mean, you would think that's a way of disposing of it.
As part of the police investigation, the bakery was searched.
Good.
And they found bone fragments. But they cannot be proved whether they're animal or human.
Why not?
Bones. Because I think the fragments are so small.
So small.
And if they've been minced, then it could well be sort of just like cow bones, pig bones from pies and such like. They have they have no way of knowing where the bones are from.
So that's very dramatic, but at the same time, completely normal for a bakery that deals in mincing meats.
Who makes everything. Pies and makes fillings and things.
Do they slaughter the animals there, though?
Well, I don't think they slaughter the animals, but they would probably get like a leg of lamb, or they might have, and there will be bones in there, so they might have to carve the bones out.
So they'd be
out.
Like, yeah, we're a bakery, we make meat pies, we're going to have bones
in
here.
We make sausage rolls, we make all this sort of stuff. There's going to be a bit of
bone. They come out with a femur.
Yeah, exactly. There's not like a skull.
Just of skull.
kicking around the floor, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's little
but it's
fragments.
Dramatic. It's dramatic.
But yeah, people
we found bone in this place
bones.
Where there are lots of bones.
Exactly. Where you would entirely expect to find bones.
And also we found meat bits and a tasty, tasty pie. We've eaten all of the pies to test them. They all taste lovely.
Yeah. But so there is no way of knowing where the bones come from. Human or animal is entirely unknown. In the end, after much protesting by Urban's friends and business associates, Franz Sturm is investigated for fraud. Instead, there is no way they can pin anything else on him.
Yeah.
There is no evidence of murder, no matter how strong the rumours, the gossip, there's the circumstantial sort of evidence that might be that he has met a sticky end. Nothing can be proven. Urban Stanger had the equivalent of £35,000 in his bank account.
Wow.
So the modern equivalent of £35,000 when he disappeared. Mm. Within months, that money had gone. Was nothing to be seen of it. Police are able to take the checks that Franz had presented to Simon Moll and Thomas Letch and prove that the signatures had been forged. These were not Urban Stanger's signatures. A number of other checks that had been made out to Franz Sturm himself were not able to be recovered, but it is assumed that they were also forged, part of this fraudulent activities. The police decided that since Franz and the now pregnant Elizabeth had been living together and working together and both enjoying the profits of the bakery, it is more than likely that she was in on the whole thing.
Yeah, she knew exactly what was going on.
She knew exactly what was going on, and she is every bit as responsible for the fraud and for the forgery. But before police can arrest her, she flees London, which is not a good look for an innocent person.
Not really.
And she flees to France.
Okay.
And Inspector Radke, he's on the case again. He chases after, and he tracks her down to the city of Metz.
Oh, nice.
And there he arrests her, and he's able to turn her to London for trial.
Bloody hell.
Now, in court, Franz presents himself as a concerned friend. He has done his best to keep his boss's business going, to keep his friend's business solvent after his disappearance. So he's done everything he could to look after Elizabeth after Urban's disappearance in his absence. The jury aren't really buying it.
No.
Really. Elizabeth declares herself completely unaware of anything. She is but a lady.
What is bread?
What is numbers? I don't know.
That was what sex was? I didn't know.
She has not a clue about any of it or what's going on. Why did you go to France? Oh, I just fancied a trip to France.
I needed to take the airs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as she gives evidence, members of the public have to be removed from the court for heckling and shouting down from the gallery at her. The trial lasts 3 days. And ends with the jury declaring Franz guilty of fraud and forgery. He is sentenced to 10 years penal servitude. As the sentence is read out, he rails against the judge and the jury and the prosecutors and his own defence counsel, screaming that it's all a conspiracy against an innocent man. It's nothing to do with him. Elizabeth is found not guilty of fraud and forgery.
Bystander,
so she has claimed complete innocence. I didn't do any of it.
Definitely knew what was going on.
Yeah. The following day, she is arrested for perjury.
Nice. Okay.
So the police get her for perjury at the trial.
Brilliant. Oh, and, I like it.
And she is sentenced to 12 months hard labour.
Yeah, good for you.
On her release, Elizabeth tries to take back the running of the bakery. The locals are not having any of it.
Absolutely not.
They make her return impossible. She decides to return to Germany. And as soon as Franz is free as well, he also makes a trip back to Germany, where he reconnects with Elizabeth. Amazingly, the long-suffering Mrs. Stumm is still in tow. She has now returned to Germany with her husband to meet up with Elizabeth. this sort of like weird trio what? Are now together yeah. back in Germany.
Can't get rid of her.
Absolutely. She knows too much. No one has ever been charged with the murder of Urban wow. Napoleon Stranger. No one knows what ever became of him. He has just vanished. And there's a story, the mystery. Could he be in a meat pie?
Brilliant. Love it. Ooh, that's a good mystery.
It's a mystery.
So was the house ever searched?
The house was searched.
Did they dig down in the cellar?
I don't know how thorough the search was. Mm. So they're certainly in the bakery and they found these bone fragments and things. Whether that was just like on the ground and stuff, whether they actually dug up the garden and all that sort of stuff. I don't know how thorough.
It does seem like the inspectors went in and went, I think we found a leg. That's a baguette. We found his head. Okay, yes. It's a cobbler and we can't go over this anymore.
And they go, well, he's not in this cupboard and he's not in that cupboard. I don't know.
Lifted up a napkin. No, he's not there. Testing for prints. Oh, wow. I think they definitely did something to
him. I think without doubt.
He can't have vanished off the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
He seemed to have no reason to do that, even if there was this blow up and this row and there was an accidental death, they got rid of his body. But it does seem like they went, yeah, you know what, screw him.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why Franz, it's interesting, one of the reports I read when Franz was in court and he's sort of like shouting about being an innocent man,
yeah,
is that I think the main theory is that, okay, Elizabeth killed her husband and he was called in to deal with the aftermath. He was summoned in the next morning to clean up the mess. She had killed him. He was innocent of that, but of course he was guilty by association. He assisted with the disposal or whatever it was. So that's a theory that goes around quite a lot.
That's a theory and it stands up quite nicely. If she suddenly decided, I know, we'll be together and I'll kill him. And he was like, that was never part of the deal. Mm. You know, it does seem like that Urban was quite happy being a cuckold, or like it was just...
I don't know, from what I've read it seems that he was just actually quite happy.
He was just busy.
His bakery, he probably neglected his wife. Mm. I don't think he was violent,
but she seems to have shacked up with the other guy pretty quickly.
Exactly, she seems to have been quite keen on Franz. And Urban was just like, yeah, probably not. Oh, fine, whatever. But I'm not that bothered.
If it is true the way you've laid it out, that Franz is quite a toxic, horrible person.
Yeah.
Bitter, like talented, but didn't have the business acumen, didn't have any success. And rather than going, I need to sort myself out, he's going to blame everyone else for his problems.
Yeah.
He gets a bakery, but he's only getting that bakery because of such and such. I should have that business. Like, well, fucking get off your ass and do it. And then start shagging his wife. So him shouting that he's innocent is him going, well, no, you can't send me to jail. I am innocent. Mm. I believe it, even if he killed him.
Mm.
Yeah, he does sound like that kind of person. And how quickly... And then he was forging all the checks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And 100% taking the money. Yeah, so completely. If he was called in by the wife...
Oh, he was taking full advantage.
He was only too happy.
Only too happy to take advantage of the situation, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's pretty cut and dried. Yeah. What happened, unless there is some massive coincidence where he just went home and went, now I'm off. And they were like, well, we may as well spend his money.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I almost get sort of going, okay, fine, I've had enough of this, I'm off. But you would tell your friends you would take your money because you want to set up somewhere else.
Yeah.
You don't just leave your bank accounts full and...
No, you're not that much of a good Samaritan. Yeah. I'll spare you all the scandal. Mm. I suppose the question is, though, I mean, if they didn't search the house, if they didn't dig down to the cellar where his bones might be...
What actually happened to him?
Did he end up in a pie? I mean, it's one way to get rid of someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bone fragments. Again, that's stupid. So, okay, there's bone fragments in here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But maybe he was.
But yeah, maybe it was. Because
where else are you going to get rid of a dead body? I mean, like the head, though. You got to boil the head, I assume. And then, well, you can't put head in a pie, can you?
Well, I suppose if you... I want to mince it down. I don't know. I've not really looked into it a great deal.
Well, no, I can imagine limbs and torso. There's a lot of body to do.
But if it doesn't go in a pie, it goes in the oven.
Yeah, I know.
Goes in the furnace.
Maybe you can cook a whole man. Well, what do you think, people? What a fantastic story of this baker. It's a little bit Sweeney Todd, reminiscent.
It's very much so.
But what do we think happened to Urban? Do we think he ended up in the pies? Is it feasible? Is it feasible to be able to cook an entire man and get rid of all evidence if people aren't really looking that much? Or do you think this is all a big coincidence? Do you think Elizabeth was responsible? Do you think that Franz was the mastermind behind all of it? Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode, share your thoughts, your theories, your feelings, your musings, your favourite pie recipes. But most importantly, while you're thinking about all of that, if you can stay focused, mix yourself up a humble pie.
Have a lovely humble pie. I mean, it went down a treat. I'm not sure I can be able to walk in a minute, but...
That's the first time in a while we've had one drink and we're like, absolutely no more drink in the drinks break.
It is very tasty, nice. But it is, oh God, it's pokey.
But it forces you to sip it.
Yes, absolutely. It's not one you can neck back, absolutely.
Yeah. We've had some strong drinks in the past where we're like, yeah, let's have us another. And we're like, oh, no. I don't feel too drunk. I feel like I've drunk something though.
But yes, the recipe will be out on Fridays for this. So yeah, let us know what you think if you're able to give it a go.
It is quite delicious. A good one for sipping by the fire and particularly on these cold winter nights. Or if you're in Australia, as some of our listeners are, enjoy the summer.
Yes. Out by the beach.
Out on the beach. Just
by the pool. Have a nice time.
Throw it at a shark. If you can, please join us on Patreon if you haven't already. And leave us a review on Apple iTunes because it really, really helps our podcast. Also, we would ask if you haven't already, please follow us on the various social media platforms we have. Predominantly, that's Instagram, it's TikTok, and also our YouTube channel where we share all of our episodes and we're trying to upload more videos on there. If you can subscribe, like, follow our channels, it is a huge, huge help to us. So please just take 2 minutes to go onto those channels, even if you don't use them that much, just to hit the subscribe button and the follow button. It would be a massive, massive help to us and we'd very much appreciate it.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the poisoner's cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.